shows, Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good evening from Southwest Florida. I hope everybody's doing well. FYI to the presenters, I hit the wrong encoder. We're doing it okay now. We were streaming to the test server, and we won't get any listeners that way. But we're cool.
All right.
We're cool.
This is going to be, we want them to hear this. This is going to be so good, they don't want to miss a word.
That's exactly right. So we don't have to worry about that. So I'll turn it over to Chris.
All right. Well, this is issue number 32, edition number 32, whatever you want to call it, March 10th, 2019. I always like to date the paper. You know what I mean? If you're getting a podcast and you're not sure where you are, you like to know, well, where were we? Oh, that was last Sunday. I want this Sunday, whatever, that kind of thing. So we got a few things to do. This was a big week for feedback for us. We got three questions that we're going to answer right away. And the third one's going to be a college basketball question, which will lead us into our top stories, which will be the college basketball. We've got a few qualifiers for the tournament now. We're set up now for our conference tournaments. Basically, everything's done for regular season's over. Probably that last game there with Wisconsin, Ohio State was the end of the regular season. So now everything's postseason play that you're going to hear about the next 3 or 4 weeks. So we'll do college basketball. We'll do the NBA. We'll do baseball. We'll do football, and because now that's going to really ramp up too on Wednesday because the year starts, the fiscal year or the new year, and then we'll do the NHL, and then we'll see what else happens. But Sean, where will everybody be able to find us?
Well, first of all, you can listen to our good buddy, Ringside Robert, and his Ringside Reporter podcast. You can download it by typing in ringsidereporter.com on all your podcatchers everywhere. Also, I believe they have a YouTube channel, ringsidereporter.com or 773-572-7781 is how you listen to that. Also, don't forget, I have my thing. If you're a fan of pro wrestling, I have Shooting the Bleep with Sean, of course. It is 773-572-7867. Going to be talking, and when I update it tonight or in the morning or whatever, about the legendary King Kong Bundy, who we lost, so those of you will know that name. Also, of course, we will have, if you want to leave us any feedback, it is at 773-572-7715. When you hear the greeting, hit the pound key. That will leave you a way to contact us, which, hey, we have feedback, by the way. We actually have a pretty good amount of feedback, and that is also one of the places where I'll talk about at the end where you can hear the show. But when you hit the greeting, just hit the pound key, and it'll skip right over. Do not mark the message private. That way we can all hear it. So speaking of feedback, let's address Carolyn.
Yep.
She had, from Connecticut, I believe. Yeah,
Connecticut.
She's from Connecticut. She talked about having trouble getting the baseball on TuneIn. So
right,
we can
with her Lady A. And the thing is, you've got to, Perry and I were talking about this, you've got to get it right when the game is on. If they're not broadcasting, if I say I want to hear a Red Sox game and it's been over for 10 minutes and they're not doing post game or anything, you know, spring training, which really there aren't pre and post game shows in spring training anyway. So basically you say you want to hear the Red Sox, you get there 10 minutes late, you got nothing. It'll maybe even say the game's still there because there's a little out of date. I don't know how that, and we'll see how that all works during the regular season. So Carolyn had, the problem was that, with her question, that we didn't know what game she was trying to work with or what team she was trying to get. And sometimes it will do, one thing it will do, let's say that the, let's say somebody wants to hear a Pirate Red Sox game on a given day and they think the Pirates are broadcasting and they're a Pirates fan and they'll ask for the Pirate. It'll go to the Red Sox if the Pirates aren't on. If the Pirates are on, it'll go to the Pirates. If the Red Sox are on, it'll go to the Red Sox. But if only one team is on, it'll go to the team that's on. So you'll get the game. But sometimes it gets confused. I was trying to get the Red Sox like a couple of weeks ago when I first did it, and it wouldn't give me the Red Sox. Kept giving me the Twins for a while, but I had to come in and get out and come back in, and then it would. But so tune in can be a little tricky, and we're all working on getting used to it because we, you know, they just set that up. So, and I just got it this year. So, and then of course, then we'll have to figure out how MLB works when that gets going. Perry, you have anything to add about that?
I think you covered it pretty well, Chris, but I think that with TuneIn that you have to be really specific. And I mean, of course, we've had questions on the college stuff before. I am having a whole lot of trouble right now accessing Ole Miss games on TuneIn because for the life of me, I cannot figure out what I'm supposed to say to get the Ole Miss games on TuneIn. And that it is very tricky. But if the game is going and your feed is available, it should take you to what you want to know.
We had a little feedback from Leonard from Missouri now, but he's a lifelong Michigan guy until a couple of years ago, and he wanted us to talk about the death of Ted Lindsay. And you know, this is kind of a funny thing because I'm telling you, Ted Lindsay is equivalent to one of the great stars of, you know, an Al Kaline. I mean, he really was. He was a real good hockey player, and you don't hear anything about it now. He's 93, 94 years old, and all that, but still. A guy like that, when they die, you would think in the other three sports, and it just kind of shows that hockey just doesn't get the attention that, well, I think it deserves, and Robert and a few others. But Ted Lindsay was a great player for the Detroit Red Wings, and then he played for the Chicago Blackhawks. But he was on the production line, as they called it in the 40s and 50s, which was Gordie Howe. Everybody's heard of him. Sid Abel and Ted Lindsay. And he was a big scorer. He ended up on the Blackhawks because he was involved in organizing the Players Association. You know, a lot of people forget that there's different people in different sports that did a lot in the 50s and 60s, like Tommy Heinsohn in basketball. I don't know. There's others. I don't want to just sing. There's others, too, I'm sure, that worked with him. I know that they almost didn't have the 64 NBA All-Star game here in Boston because Tommy Heinsohn and the players said, you know, you got to give us more money for this game. You know, and they almost didn't play that night, and they did work it out. So way back before anybody got involved, before there were agents even, some of the players, and one of them in hockey was Ted Lindsay, and that's why they sent him to the Blackhawks, which was like going to Siberia at that point. They didn't even have – that was the year they got Bobby Hull, but they were a last-place team. And the Red Wings – on the Red Wings, he had won Stanley Cups in 50, 54, and 55. He, of course, was a Hockey Hall of Famer. And when the NBC – hockey came to NBC after it left CBS in 74 – for the 73-74 season, I'm sorry, he was the color man with Tim Ryan. And I don't think he was very good, but he did do color. I also think he was involved with the Red Wings broadcast too later on, but I'm not sure. But our friend David USF did not happen to put that obituary in, so I didn't really get all the information I wish I had. But certainly a very memorable player for the Detroit Red Wings in their glory days of the 40s and late 40s and in through the mid-50s. And then we had one more, which will lead us to college basketball.
Last one is Bob from Washington checked in. He wanted to know about the pact about Washington, why they weren't getting the respect, because they only have a couple losses. You know, they've been winning in conference, and why people aren't looking at them in the NCAA. Well, they will probably get in, Bob.
Oh, of course they'll get in.
They'll get in but here's the thing. If you remember on last week's show, the Pac-12 was the ninth-rated overall RPI conference. They may get two. If Washington wins the tournament, if they go ahead and win the tournament, they may be the only one in. But you never know. They're talking two teams at the most from the Pac-12, so they're pretty low down. That's the Pac-12. Washington's a good team. They've had some decent wins, but they're in a league that honestly sucks. I'd say that's the most polite way to say it.
Right.
Pac-12. I mean, when they're behind the West Coast Conference, they're the third best conference out in the West area.
Right. Well, this team is a solid NCAA team. They're 24-7. I looked them up. I asked Miss A. They're 24-7. They're 15-3 in their conference. Lost their game yesterday because they only had two losses when Bob asked us the question. They're going to be a 6-7 seed or something. They're going to do all right. They'll be in the middle of the pack somewhere, even though they didn't make the top 25. The top 25 doesn't mean anything. It's kind of nice. No, this isn't football. This isn't something where you have to pay much attention to that.
And remember, they've changed, Chris, the way that they do teams this year. So in all honesty, what we thought we knew last year is going to look quite a bit different this year because of the new, instead of using what they had used, the RPI and things like that, they're using these Ken Palm ratings, and they're going to be a little bit different. So that what went last year, you're probably going to see some things be different this year as to whether teams do or don't get in.
Yeah. And some conferences, on the other hand, like SEC and ACC, are going to get bunches of teams in because they've just beat other people better around the country during the preseason. You know, I had more success as a conference. So let me run down some college basketball scores from today, and then we can do a general discussion of tournaments and where we are. And then we'll get into, remember, we have to have a college scandal report each week, and we will certainly do that as soon as we get through some of this stuff. So for the game that Perry and I were listening to, Bradley ended up coming from behind and beating Northern Iowa 57-54. And Perry, why don't you talk about that 18-point lead for Northern Iowa in the early in the second half?
Yeah, with 18 minutes to go, it was an 18-point lead. Then it turned into a great game. And then with about 3 minutes to go, they had a call where they called it was a foul on you and I. And then they called a technical, apparently, on you and I also, because they saw something on the replay. We don't know what it was because, of course, the radio people don't have access to, you know, what they saw. I think they explained it to the TV people, so they probably knew. But in the end, Bradley won the game by 3 points. And, they, you know, that's a good story, too. Bradley is, because, I mean, being a U and I fan, I wish it would have been U and I that would have won the game. But Bradley's a good story, too. They've not been since 06. Brian Wardall, the coach, I think this is his fourth year, and he had to rebuild that program from scratch. And when he came in, they won like five games in a season. So, and he's clearly done it the right way. And typical Missouri Valley game, it was a good game, as you would expect it would be. And it was enjoyable. Like I said, I wish you and I would have won it. But you and I had their scoring drought in the second half, like they typically have in a game. And you know, you kind of wish they would figure out how not to do that. But
and in asking to say, it turns out they're going. Their season's over because they're under 500. They're not even going to the NIT. So
they're not. The only team probably the only team that gets into the NIT would be Loyola Chicago. There's an outside chance that Drake would. Now, whether some of these other teams would play in some of these buy-in tournaments, the CBI or the CIT, I don't know.
Yeah. But the thing is, and there again, it's a funny skewing of the records. Like we said, that some conference is going to do very well, but this is a conference used to pretty much send two. Certainly, when Wichita State and Northern
Iowa,
sometimes
they would send three and four.
Sometimes they would send three and four.
Back when they had Creighton and Missouri State was good back in the day, and Southern Illinois, they would send.
Speaking of Southern Illinois, Barry Henson, the coach at Southern Illinois, did step down the other night after losing to you and I in the quarterfinals, so there will be an opening, a coaching vacancy in the Missouri Valley.
Okay, so we got some more scores here. All right, we got Gardner-Webb beating Radford 76-65. What conference was that, Sean?
That's the Big South. The Big South is one of your lower tier, probably your bottom. They're not even a mid-level. They're kind of. That's one of the bottom seven or eight conferences where the Missouri Valley is, I mean, because of tradition in the past alone, is probably in that top 10, 11, 12.
This year they were 13th.
Right.
Yeah, but they've been in that range because the Missouri Valley and the Ohio Valley, who last night Murray State won over Belmont, you know, those two are kind of some 1AA conferences that usually make some noise in there. But yeah, Gardner-Webb coming out of the Big South winning, you know,
Also had Liberty beating Lipscomb 74-68, and that's the Atlantic Sun?
The Atlantic Sun. It used to be the old Trans-America Conference back in the day, but it's the Atlantic Sun, like I said, another lower-tier conference. So now we have four automatic bids. We have Gardner-Webb, Liberty, Murray State, and Bradley.
Right. Then we get into some conference games, wrap-up conference games in the regular conferences you hear about normally on our show. Houston beating Cincinnati 85-69. Houston, of course, has already won the regular season title in the AAC. So when their tournament this year? Anybody know?
I don't know this year.
Well, yeah, we never know where that tournament is. We always have to find them. A lot of these tournaments move around. I know, for example, the ACC is in Charlotte. Where's the Big Ten?
The Big Ten is in Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah. And ACC Charlotte. Big East, of course, is in Madison Square Garden. The Atlantic Ten is in Brooklyn. And so, you know, we know where some of them are, but we just don't
know
where.
Big 12's in Oklahoma City.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Okay. We got Penn State over Illinois, 72-56. Indiana knocked off Rutgers, 89-73. UConn beat East Carolina at home, 82-73. Nebraska over Iowa, 93-91. What the heck happened there, Perry?
That was an overtime game, and from what I heard, I did not hear the game, but and maybe somebody could call in and tell us a little bit, but from what I heard, Iowa had a 9-point lead with 43 seconds to go, and the game went to overtime, and Nebraska ended up winning. Iowa is on a skid right now, to be honest.
Where are they seated in the tournament? We'll talk about that, some of that,
that
stuff
I'm
in a minute.
I'm not totally sure. I've not seen the brackets yet, but I know they're
Miss
not
going to... A seems pretty helpful with that. If you can figure out where somebody is, you can do a puzzle. If you know your conference, you can kind of tell where people are.
I can tell you this much, Chris. I don't believe they're getting the double buys.
Okay. So how many – who gets the double buys? Top four?
Top four. It's the top four that get the double buys.
Top four, you know, like the ACC. So yes. The thing is, but you can – also, one of the things to look at when you – everybody's doing it this way now. The game that's going to be ultimately the number one seed, in other words, the 8-9 game, would be played at noon on a given day so that they can play the next day. Everybody likes to come back 24 hours later. So that first bracket is the day bracket, the 8, the 1. Think of your end of your tournament, the 8, 1 and 8 and 4 and 5 are one bracket, and the 2 and 7 plays before the 3 and 6. You always so if you see times on not – now, the ACC is crazy because you got 15 teams to start with, but when you see times for a game – you can say, for example, I saw that Providence is going to play Butler at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. That means that that's a 7-10 game because it's a 10-team conference, because the 7 game would play 2. Whoever wins that game is going to play the 2. So you can kind of tell by the times, if you figure it out, where your seed is in the tournament. It's kind of interesting to do it that way. And we have SMU beat South Florida 77-71. And in the last, as I say, last regular season game, basically, in the Big Ten. Big Ten's always the last thing to do everything. They'll have the last tournament game next week, too. Wisconsin over Ohio State, 73-67 in overtime. So for the tournament, as you look at your conference tournaments, when we can talk about all the conferences, what do you guys see as far as some interesting things to look for?
Well, of course, in the Big 12, Texas, Oklahoma, TCU all have to – TCU has to win 2 games probably in the tournament. Texas has to win at least one. I said Oklahoma has to win at least one to, you know, be relevant in the tournament. Of course,
it would behoove Iowa State to at least win one because they're on a skid too.
Yeah, and that's part of what they look at when they've said in the last couple of years, that's one of the things on the next week, of course, with Selection Sunday. We'll talk about that. We're going to try to cover that as best we can next Sunday. We should have our brackets ready, and everybody can get their matchups. We won't have times, but we will have sites and matchups next Sunday. And the thing is that they look at the end of the season very closely. And so if you lose 4 out of 5, you may have a better record than somebody else, but who's 1 out of 4 out of 5, you might have be dumped a couple of seeds if that happens.
Yeah, and then you have, of course, probably like said, the AAC, Central Florida. Central Florida needs to get on a little bit of a run. I mean, they've been doing okay. If they can get in there with Houston, with Cincinnati, you got Temple, those four probably getting the SEC. I mean, your LSU, Tennessee, Kentucky, all battling. They all want to be a number one seed, which will get to LSU in just a minute.
And LSU and Kentucky, they are the top two seeds. Probably some teams who need to do, you know, if they want to advance their seeding a little bit, would be like your Ole Misses, Mississippi States, people like that. They could, if they won a couple games, they can help the cause.
Florida needs to win a little bit to kind of advance, just like the SEC. I mean, the ACC, you know Duke, Virginia, Florida State, those teams are going to do, but
North Carolina,
Louisville, but I mean, those
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech might need to win to advance some seeding a little bit, just like.
Well, they're pretty high up in the conference. They're about 4 or 5.
They're about 4 or 5.
But what they're saying, what you're hearing, at least around here, is that they could get 8 or 9 in. So, you know,
yeah, that's what I've heard the number 9 tossed around for the,
and they've got a game right off the bat with the 8-9 game on Wednesday is going to be Clemson and NC State. So there's two teams right there that I don't know their records. And again, you can ask if you've got a Miss A, you can ask her. This year she's very good about the records. Last year she didn't have them right. This year she's got them pretty good. Her seedings within the conference may be correct or not, but you can get so if you see somebody's like 18 and 12, you know that they're in a position where they got to win a couple of games, or it's a good idea if they do. You know,
one piece of advice, Chris, that I would give people is this: if you have a Miss A and a Apple device per se, or I don't know about Android, but if you have an Apple device or Miss A, I would ask Miss A for your scores, because the Apple device, they do not update tournaments very well.
Okay. Yeah. And the other thing we've told you, and we'll reiterate again really quickly, that these tournaments, things are going to be available. If you've got stations you've been getting on your devices, or your local stations or whatever, you're going to be able to get, you know, network affiliates and all. They'll be there. The tournaments are basically a regular season for these conferences. They want to expose their conferences. Yeah. They'll be around. They'll be on the tune-in dedicated stations. NCAA is another story. They'll be few and far between. But for this week, you can hear the last gasp of your local announcers. If you like somebody from far away and you only get to hear them via a device, this is the week to listen.
And you will definitely have championship games. Like tomorrow, the Patriot League. I think the Southern Conference has their championship. I know Tuesday you'll have at least the West Coast, the Metro Atlantic. So you're going to have 2 to 3 championship games every night, plus the big conferences, the top 8 or 9 conferences all start tournaments. Well, there's about 10 or 11 of them that start tournaments between Tuesday and Wednesday, because they play their, you know, like the Big East, the Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, Mountain West, the America's on Sunday, but all those play on Saturday, and then you have your Atlantic 10, Big 10, SEC, Sun Belt, and I think Conference USA are all on
okay
Saturday. One's on Saturday, one's on Sunday, and then you'll have all those big tournaments getting underway Tuesday, Wednesday. Check all your sites, plus all of your different, your family of ESPN and Fox and CBS Sports and NBC Sports and all those channels. You'll have basketball from probably Wednesday on. You'll have basketball all day.
Oh, all day.
I mean, Tuesday it'll be a lot of night games because it'll still be opening round, but Wednesday, you'll have at least 2 or 3 channels that have college basketball all day. But
yeah,
speaking of LSU, we mentioned them. I guess we got to
do the scandal.
Listen to the FBI scandal that started around this time last year at the tournament. The Adidas shoe scandal that goes back to 2018, where several, right before the 2018 season even started, 2017-18 season started, actually, where they had the runners for the shoe companies, you know, going to different schools. Remember, they got Chuck Person from Auburn last year. Sean Miller went down last year. There's others. Now, TCU and Creighton had some assistant coaches involved. But Will Wade, the coach at LSU, involved this Devontae Smart. And then they were involved another player, Christian Dawkins, you know, in some wiretapping where they got him on tape saying, you know, making offers on recruits.
Will Wade is suspended for indefinitely with LSU. They haven't given, because they figure that Perry, you were thinking that he won't be back until his testimony, which will be in April. So this year,
I wouldn't think so, because they want to make sure that he's cleared or not cleared or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, so you know, if LSU was a border, you know, a bubble team or 500 team this year, he would have already been fired. I'll flat say it. But because they're doing, you know, say, we got to keep him, we got to watch. You know, I hate to say it, but he probably would have been out, or he wouldn't have been just suspended. They would have probably laid the hammer down on him.
Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so I guess we're done with college. So I guess it's time to do the NBA.
Do we have any calls out there?
We do not at this point. So
okay, you can call in 646-876-9923. When you get in, 287-723-4600, hit the pound key twice. *6 mutes you and unmute you. *9 raises your hand. Ask a question.
Okay, so we got the NBA here, and in the East, we have Milwaukee still on top at 50-16. Toronto, 47-19, number two. There's a big battle. Third place is up for grabs in both conferences, and we got the battle right here. And this is going into today's action. I know Philadelphia beat Indiana today, so that changes things a little. But as today began, Indiana was third at 42-24, Philadelphia 41-25 in fourth. So that means they're tied, and the Celtics are now 41-26. As will happen with the team, you know, we were bemoaning the Celtics, or I was last week, because they played a horrible game against Houston. And going on the road will do it sometimes. I'll tell you, it does, and the team sort of bonds, and they've had three good wins out there. They beat the Golden State, killed Golden State on Tuesday night, embarrassed Golden State on national TV. Then on Wednesday, they knocked off Sacramento by two, and then they beat the Lakers last night as the Lakers trudged towards nowhere. Then we drop down after the top five. So those three teams, they're all fighting for that 3-4-5 spot. Detroit is number six at 33-31. Brooklyn is 35-33 in number seven. Number eight in the last playoff spot belongs to Miami. So it's a bit of a drop that puts, and now we're getting down to the point where you got like 14 games to go. So you can see that if you got a couple game, three game lead, it's starting to get a big deal. So Detroit and Brooklyn are looking good for playoff spots. Miami at 31-34 is number eight, but right behind them is Orlando at 31-36. So just a game behind them. Charlotte is 30-36. So just a game and a half behind them. Then it drops back a little. Washington's got somewhat in contention at 27-39. Then you have the also-rans, Atlanta 22-45, Chicago 19-48, Cleveland 16-50, and the Knicks at 13-53. In the West, we have Golden State at 45-20, Denver 43-22. So Warriors, after that debacle on Tuesday night, got their act together, including beating Denver. So they've got a little bit of a cushion now against the Nuggets. Here's a battle again for third. We got Houston going into today at 40-25. And then remember, Oklahoma City's been third like every week we've done this pretty much, but not now. Oklahoma City's four at 40-26, just half a game out. Portland is 40-26. So they're tied for fourth. Oklahoma City gets the tiebreaker right now. So that's the third, you know, the battle for third in the West. Then Utah drops back at 37-28 in sixth. The Clippers have passed San Antonio. They're up in seventh now at 38-29. San Antonio is 37-29. Then Sacramento, I think, looks like the only legitimate playoff chance to catch these eight teams. Sacramento's at 33-32, so they got like a, and it's pretty big. They got about a 3.5 game lead over, you know, the San Antonio's 3.5 game lead over them. So they're in pretty good shape. Those eight teams should make the playoffs, but you never know. Then you drop down to Minnesota at 31-35. The Lakers, as they say, trudging to oblivion. Everybody's hurt, and LeBron's not happy, and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, hey, they're 30-36. New Orleans, 30-38. You got Davis over there, and they're having a good time, too. Dallas, 27-38. Memphis, 27-40. And at the bottom, way at the bottom, is Phoenix at 15-52. So we got our playoff matchups that we'd have today. We have Milwaukee in the one seed in the East would play Miami at 8. Philadelphia would play the Celtics. That'd be 4-5. But again, that we've got now Philadelphia and Indiana tied for third. So that, you know, all subjects change. All three of those teams will be moving around the next week or two, probably. Toronto, number two, would be playing Brooklyn at number seven. And number three, Indiana, would play Detroit at number six. In the West, Golden State's number one. San Antonio's number eight. Four at the moment is Oklahoma City against Portland. What happened to our Portland-Houston matchup? We've had it every week. We've read
went away.
Not there. Went
yeah,
away.
Not there, man. Oklahoma. We're lost.
Oh, boy. What are we going to do? Okay, number two is Denver against the Clippers at number seven, and Houston, number three, against Utah, number six. We have action today. Detroit beat Chicago 131-108. Toronto beat Miami 125-104. Philadelphia, as I said, big game for that third place battle, beat Indiana in Philadelphia 106-89 at 6 o'clock. These are the games that are either underway or, well, this one might be over. But anyway, as we speak, it began at 6 o'clock Eastern. New Orleans at Atlanta, Orlando also at Memphis. Seven, we have Houston and Dallas. Eight, the Knicks and Minnesota, Milwaukee and San Antonio. And 8:30, the last one is Phoenix and Golden State. So you guys have any comments on the NBA?
Well, we all know that the Lakers are dropping like flies. I mean,
right?
Yes.
Lonzo Ball is out, and who's the other one, Sean, that went out yesterday?
Yeah, Ingram.
Ingram, he's out.
Brandon Ingram. Ingram's out. Of course, you know, Anthony Davis, they're still having that controversy there. Right now, I would say your candidates for MVP are definitely James Harden and Giannis. Those are your two, I would say. But Harden especially, I mean, that guy, his streak came to an end going after Wilt, but then, you know, he's still bouncing back. I mean, he's kept that team relevant even when Chris Paul was injured. You know, I mean, the fact that they're the third seed now, I mean, he's definitely got to watch out for. Oklahoma City, yeah, I mean, the Westbrook-George deal, I think they're still going pretty well, but I mean, you're getting some different teams, you know, some players. It's not necessarily Golden State, there's friction in their locker room, so it could, because, you know, the whole thing on whether Kevin Durant's staying, whether he's leaving, which a lot of people seem to think he is leaving, but there's friction among some of their other players, not real. Like, there's a little tension between those players, and could they rise above it? And I mean, they probably will and win, but is it going to cause any trouble in the playoffs?
Possibly? Yeah, and again, right at the moment, Celtics are playing well, but of course, there's been friction there before. Milwaukee is just rolling along. They're really the team in the East right now. Toronto, can they actually win some big playoff series? You know, they're number two. Then we have this battle for 3, 4, and 5, and who's going to get home? You know, 4 and 5, it's very important who gets home court, because, you know, if you're playing Philadelphia, Indiana, or the Celtics, you're going to be playing a tough team. You want to have home court. So that's a very important battle.
Yeah, because remember, they are set. They're all 7-game series now, even the first round the last few years. So, yeah, you want to have that home court for 4 games, not just 3.
So we're only, how many days? 18 days away from the start of the baseball season. Of course, we had some baseball news, a fair amount of it. Nothing huge, but just a bunch of stuff happened. Now, the one thing that happened is, and I don't know if we know what she's supposed to do in the front office, but Jessica Mendoza is going to be doing something for the Mets. Do we have any idea what it is, Terry?
She is a special advisor to the general manager.
Oh, that's a good job. I love being a special advisor. They just sort of call you up, wake you up once in a while. What's going on, you know?
Pretty
so
much.
Now she's gonna what be was her background? Pretty, she was on ESPN, you said?
Yeah, and she does Sunday Night Baseball. She apparently is going to do something very similar to what David Ross does, like with the Cubs. And I think a lot of other teams have players who do this too, you know, just advise on things.
Uh-huh. Well, I hope, you know, David Ross is a good guy. So if he, you know, I know he can do, because that's why he, you know, Theo and them want him to be there, because he's just a good person to have around. So, you know, if they see her that way, then that's fine. Now, there were some negotiations. I only heard this once, and maybe you heard more about it, Perry, but Ken Rosenthal had a story, and I think it was like Tuesday, listening to the Red Sox game, and they were talking, that they were actually talking about a few things. Nothing is in stone for anything. This is all negotiations. We kind of thought that the players, when we've been talking in the past weeks, we thought the players and the owners really weren't talking about any changes or any of these modifications. And again, none of this necessarily would happen before this season, or it might, a couple of these things. They're talking about apparently one trading deadline, because what happens is you get all these crazy waiver deals in August that nobody understands. That will take one thing off of Perry's plate and somewhat mine, which is explaining them, because we don't really understand them. We have to explain them, and we can't really do it, and it's ridiculous. But, you know, beyond that, it would be July 31st, and then you've made a trade. Those people can be on your postseason roster, and that's it. Yeah, if you pick somebody up, somebody cuts somebody, but it's a lot less maneuvering at the end. Another thing that we're talking about in his story, apparently, and this was all, I didn't see the story, or we didn't get it anywhere else. This was on the Red Sox game on like, as I say, Tuesday, and Rob Bradford was talking about it from RedSox.com. He's been on pretty much all the spring training games. They're talking about having 26 players all every game this year, or sometime, whenever.
Next year.
Okay, so nothing's going to happen this year. So, all right. So, for maybe next year for 26, and then they would go up to 28. Not the 40 or as many as 40. And not everybody brings up 40. Sometimes people do 30, 32. But there'll be 4. It used to be 40. Now they're only going to go to 28 in, perhaps in September.
And And they're talking about also only, what, 13 pitchers per roster as part of it.
They are, I don't think that's going to go, because I think teams are going to want the ability to do whatever they want with their roster.
Right. The other thought that people have is to do it like hockey and sort of the NBA and have healthy scratches. You know, the NBA, what do they carry? I think they travel with 14 or 15 guys now, and or they're there, they're on the bench, and there's a couple of healthy scratches, and hockey has two or three healthy scratches each game. So, and, you know, football does too. That's what the taxi squad or the practice squad is. So, you know. Then we had a
Chris, too, is none of this will happen this year. And keep in mind, for everybody's benefit out there, next week, we may have to preview the baseball a little bit next week, because that'll be the last show before technically opening day.
That's true. We'll at least have to pick whether Seattle and the A's will split their series, or one will win two and the other way, you know, because we got to at least make a prediction of something. But yeah, it's going to be, I don't know if we can do it. We're going to have to talk about this, because we have so much to do next week with the NCAA and talking about, you know, all that we're just going to have to see how it's all going to shake out.
Well, we can do it. I think they're going to split in Japan and they'll be tied for first place going into everybody else.
There we go. All right. Well, you can go ahead. There we go. We got Sean's prediction. That's great. Nobody wants to hear mine after. Although I was right about the Super Bowl after I went 0-4 the first week of the playoffs. Okay, so Stephen Wright for the Red Sox, 80-game suspension for PEDs and performance-enhancing drugs. And, you know, of course, he's claiming he didn't know, and this is the whole story. Somebody asked us in our group, you know, how can this be? How can a person not know? How can they be that dumb? Well, it's not easy. I mean, no one says it's easy, but you need help. You can't just do it yourself. You have to have your agent. You have to have somebody who really knows the rules. And, you know, this is where I think sometimes the people who make a little more money come out ahead, that they really do know, and they can buy the masking agents if they're going to do these things. This guy's been hurt for a couple of years, and it's probably an issue where, and he also had the same knee operation as Dustin Pedroia. And it could very well be an issue where he's just not confident in it, and he was just thinking that this kind of stuff would help him. You know, nobody's ever had he's not a jerk or anything like that. And I'm not saying they all are, but sometimes they are. He's not a jerk, but he had a really great 2016 season, and he got hurt. And this is an interesting story. Getting back to our rules changes about the DH a little bit. He pitched a great game on Friday night when the Red Sox were in Los Angeles playing the Dodgers. You know, shut them down, won the game, all that. Sunday, because just they were moving people in and out of the lineup, John Farrell brought him in to pinch run because he's a good athlete. And he got hurt on the bases because he didn't run all the time, because they weren't hitting all the time. So it's just one of those things. And his career has never been the same since that happened. So he's out for 80 games. He wasn't a big expected to be a key contributor, but it's too bad. But it happens to every team once in a while. Another person who's going to be out is Salvador Perez for the Royals. He had Tommy John surgery, and they picked up Martin Maldonado. Where was he before, Perry?
He was an Angel before, among other teams. I think he was with Milwaukee, too, at one point.
Okay.
Now, so another person, Chris, that is going to be out is Giants owner Larry Bear. Remember, we heard the story a couple weeks ago how he and his wife had a
domestic violence
in a public park. Well, he stepped away from the team for the owner of the Giants, saying he does not want to be a distraction to the team. And those who've seen the video of the incident, it didn't look good. I mean, he basically took her to the ground trying to get a hold of a cell phone and stuff like that. It did not look good, but he has decided that while they are investigating that he is going to step away, and I suspect that he'll be away for quite a while because there is video of this, so I suspect that he'll be, with or without her cooperation, I suspect he'll be suspended for quite a while.
Right. And then another sad note in baseball is Tom Seaver. It was announced that he has Alzheimer's disease. He will not be. He's only 74. He will not be making any more public appearances or anything like that. And, of course, Tom Seaver had an interesting career. Of course, he won the World Series with the Mets in 69, was traded to the Reds. He was with the White Sox, where he ran his 300th game. And then in 86, he was actually with the Red Sox. He got traded for Steve Lyons. Everybody's heard of it. So two broadcasters traded for each other, later broadcasters. Steve Lyons traded to the White Sox, and Tom Seaver came over to finish the year, but he got hurt. So he was not able to help the Red Sox. Hey, if Tom Seaver had been around, maybe they would have beaten the Mets. And, you know, seven-game series, who's to know? Because he was still pitching. He pitched pretty well the month or two before he got hurt. But it's very sad. He was an articulate guy. Of course, he was on NBC for a few years, calling postseason baseball with Bob Costas and everybody. And it seemed to me, if I remember, he did a pretty good job with it.
Dick Enberg, him and Dick Enberg did a lot, yeah.
So it seemed like he did a good job from what I saw. So that's baseball. Any more baseball, Perry or Sean?
No, I think that's it. We're just about coming up on the three-quarter point, so if anybody's got anything, this is your time to get in to get in. So if you want to get in, this would be your time.
To be in like Flynn. If somebody says to be in like Flynn. If you want to
be
in like
Flynn, this would be your time to do it, yes.
This would be your time to
and
do
we
it.
We are. And if not, we got some football to talk
we
about.
We got football. We all right.
Fiscal year starting. Fiscal year started on the 1st, but they can start signing Wednesday afternoon.
Well, the first thing I wanted to cover, because I've just put it under football, could have put it under basketball, but Perry's a Big Ten fan. Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten, is leaving after 2020. And has he been a good commissioner for the league?
He's been a great commissioner for the league because he's been there since 89 and the Big Ten.
He got the Big Ten Network.
He did. Mm-hmm. He had the Big Ten Network. He's done a lot with college football, college basketball.
He's the one that got them to actually have a. He got them to have a conference tournament. Remember, them and the Ivy League were the last two that didn't have
and
one.
And
the Pac-12 did not have one either. But he, under his administration, they did that. Expanded to 14 teams. He got this big deal with CBS, Fox, and ESPN, you know, the big TV deal that they're under now and the championship game and just, I mean, yeah.
And it is rumored, by the way, it is rumored, speaking of conferences, it is rumored that the Big Ten and the SEC may be looking to expand again to 16.
Okay. Yes, I've heard that. And, of course, we know who they're looking at, some teams, of course. We all know there's the usual Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and if Oklahoma comes, Oklahoma State would have to go, and Kansas comes, Kansas State would have to go. Those are the teams that a lot of conferences are looking at. You know,
It looks like, I mean, again, you're in the middle of the country. I mean, you know, it's a little bit easier on the coast because you say, okay, you can move up and down the coast. You go to the ACC or the Big East or, you know, whatever in the old days when there was a Big East football. That looks like the almost imminent destruction of the Big 12, like the Southwest Conference was destroyed.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, the Big 12.
By the way, while we're talking, we do have Pierre with his hand raised. Pierre, come on in.
Y'all are discussing the football. I saw today on NBC Sports that the Wisconsin quarterback that started for them for 3 years is transferring to Florida State next year.
Yes, he is going to be a grad. Yeah, that's right. He's going to be
grad
a grad
transfer.
It's Hornibrook is the guy's name, and he's going to be a grad transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're here, Pierre, what happened in NASCAR today? I know they were out in, was it Phoenix?
Kyle Busch won the Xfinity race yesterday, and Kyle Busch won the Cup race today.
Okay.
All right.
Anything on LSU, Pierre?
Well, I tell you what, I think there's a conspiracy against Louisiana. Because we were going to the Super Bowl, and, of course, the refs cheated and took it away from us. Now that we're going for the big dance, all of a sudden they come up with some Trump charges against Will Wade. So,
And not only that, it never stops raining.
I'm telling you.
There's always that.
Pierre, while I have you, what's our baseball update this weekend?
Well, I don't know. Well, I didn't get to hear the Cubs today. Teresa stole it for the Mets. So.
Okay.
How about our college baseball?
Well, college baseball, LSU took 2 out of 3 from Cal.
Yeah, you got to get two. You got to get two Amazon. You got to get two Echo devices there. You're going to have fights during the season if you don't get two devices up here.
And Texas Stanford split, by the way, a 4-game series too.
Yep. Yeah. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State both won this weekend too. For those who don't know, Pierre and I talk college baseball quite a bit in our groups and privately too. So we go back and forth on that college baseball. Not everybody enjoys it, but it's king in the SEC, isn't it, Pierre?
It sure is.
Now, there's a lot of people that complain about the clock changes, but this is a good time for spring training because what happens now is if you're in the East, of course, the games are still starting at 1:05 in Florida, but now they're starting at 4:05 in Arizona. So you can sit down and listen to a good chunk of the game, hear pretty much all the game because the spring training games move along pretty well. And then you can go to Arizona and see what's going on over there. So
we're starting, Chris, to get night games too.
Yes, we are. We had a bunch of them on Friday, I noticed. So yeah.
Wait a minute. Jerry is next.
Okay.
Jerry.
Yeah. Good evening. Well, you're probably not ready for football, but of course, big story around
you
here.
You can talk about whatever you like, Jerry.
That's what we're going to go into.
We're in the middle of football, actually.
Antonio Brown's going to be an Oakland Raider.
That's what I was just about to say. And, you know, the thing is that, I don't know. See, if I were the Raiders, and again, it's a little bit ahead. It's sort of like the Padres did a couple of weeks ago. I wouldn't be picking him up first. I mean, again, maybe they're going to make a bunch of moves. It's all going to look good. But that's a move. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, that's what you do because you didn't have a wide receiver. You get Witten back and you get somebody like Antonio Brown. Then you got something to work with to go with that running game. Nobody believed the Cowboys could throw the ball. And basically, they couldn't throw the ball. So if you had an Antonio Brown, but the Raiders, nobody can believe they can do anything because they can't play defense either.
I've heard that the Raiders, one thing they're doing this, they're wanting to see if Derek Carr, how he does with Antonio Brown. And, you know, it may not be, but look what they gave up for him, a third and a fifth.
They didn't give up a whole lot.
They got for Amari Cooper. They got a first round for Amari Cooper. I mean, they didn't gamble a whole lot. So, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, they just got a third and a fifth. They can, you know, if it's not working out, they can get rid of him.
He also got a pay raise. He didn't get an extension, but the Raiders are giving him more money, and the players are loving that. They think that this is going to be good news for them going forward, that they're going to get these, you know, better contracts.
What's the rumor now about Le'Veon Bell, Jerry?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out maybe on Thursday. I haven't heard any more lately.
Yeah,
he's
now a total free agent, right?
Yeah.
As far as I know. Okay. Another deal we had was, shuttling around the flotsam and jetsam of the middle pack quarterbacks. Case Keenum is going to go ply his trade in Washington. And if you did it the way you could have done it about 2 years, you could have flipped Cousins for Keenum because that's what you ended up doing. But the Redskins ended up on the wrong end of that deal because Cousins had a reasonable year last year.
Remember, Chris, that when he was a Viking and everybody was so up on him, Stephen A. Smith – he says, always remember, it's Case freaking Keenum.
Right.
Screaming A. Smith loved him. Yes.
Who had a great year in two years ago in Minnesota. Last year was not good in Denver. And, Cousins did much better in Minnesota. They had their defense wasn't quite what it should have been, and they didn't have enough weapons. But, you know, they had other issues. But it wasn't Keenum's fault 2 years ago. But they were able to get Cousins, and that was an upgrade. It really was. So I get that for Minnesota. But Washington is just going to be bad. I don't see any. If they win more than 5 games, I'll be surprised. Even in the NFC East, the Cowboys are going to be good. The Giants made an improvement. They got they got an offensive lineman from the Browns who's a pretty much of a regular. And that's what they need because their offense was good if Eli could stay on his feet. And he's not a mobile quarterback, so you got to give him more protection. But and we do know that on Wednesday, as Sean was saying, and we got into the other stuff first, the college part, but on Wednesday, the 13th, I think it's 4 p.m. Eastern, the NFL season really begins. Now, we've talked about trades. We've talked about Foles going to Jacksonville. We've talked about Brown going to the Raiders, blah, 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 and the Browns thing with the Giants. It's not official until Wednesday. None of it's going to change. We know they're all going to happen. But then the things we don't know are going to happen. Then you start to see the free agents like Le'Veon Bell and whoever else is going to go where they're going to go. And that'll start. And it really gets crazy because you got some of that. That's what I mean about next week's show. Because you got that. You got your NCAA going. I kind of wish it was a different week because it's really hard with all the conference tournaments and things to keep track of everything. But we'll do the best we can. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So anybody else got any more on football?
No, and we don't have anything new on the Bob Kraft situation. So
no,
a lot of
no.
People love to hear about the scandals, but we don't have anything new on that one.
Right. Okay. No, so I guess we'll do the NHL. And the only scandals they ever have in the NHL is like whose stick is curved too much and stuff, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
So far, we have in the Atlantic Division, and remember, the top three teams in each division make the playoffs, and then the next two wild card teams. So we have in the East and in the Atlantic Division, Tampa Bay with 108 points, the Bruins with 93, Toronto 89, Montreal 79, Florida 70, Buffalo 69. And Buffalo's been ahead of Florida the whole time, but Florida's been playing better and Buffalo hasn't been playing well. Buffalo actually started off in a playoff spot the first month or two of the season, but basically since Christmas they haven't been doing well. Detroit at 58 and Ottawa at 52. In the Metropolitan Division, we have Washington with 87, the Islanders with 85, Carolina 81, Pittsburgh 81. We have Columbus 79, Philadelphia 74, the Rangers are at 68, and New Jersey 59. So basically, if the playoffs, if the season were to end today in the East, you'd have Tampa Bay against Columbus. As it turns out, I didn't know because Columbus and Montreal are tied for that last wild card, but it turns out Columbus would get the tiebreaker right now, according to the Bruins pregame. So Tampa Bay would play Columbus today, but that'll all be subject to change. The Bruins would host Toronto in the Atlantic Division. Washington, at the top of the Metro Division, would play Pittsburgh right now. Oh, Washington, Pittsburgh. Oh, would NBC like that or not? They love those. And then the Islanders would play Carolina. And boy, Carolina stunk the other night. They got killed by, and Winnipeg's a good team, but 8-1 or something. And Carolina had been hot. I don't know what happened. Okay, in the West, we have the Central. Winnipeg with 84. Nashville, 83. That's a battle for first there. St. Louis, 79. Dallas, 75. Minnesota, 74. Colorado, 72. And Chicago, 67. In the Pacific, we have San Jose in first now, Robert. He knows that, and by the time he hears the podcast, it may not be true anymore because they go back and forth. San Jose with 90, but they've been chasing Calgary all year and just being right behind them. Calgary at 89, Vegas Golden Knights 81, Arizona 73, Edmonton 67, Vancouver 65, and Anaheim 63, and the Kings at 56. In the West, let's see, we'd have San Jose right now would be playing Minnesota. And then we have Calgary and the Vegas Golden Knights in the Pacific Division. And in the Winnipeg would be meeting Dallas and Nashville and St. Louis. And looking, let me quickly look at the playoff spots. In the East, basically the battle is for that last wild card, and Pittsburgh is just ahead of them, and Carolina is just ahead of them. So there's a real battle there. You figure, looking at it, that the obviously Tampa Bay is all set. Bruins and Toronto are in. And those upper teams in the Islanders and Washington are probably in, but the other spots are really up for grabs. Looking at the West and trying to see who's just outside the playoffs here: Winnipeg 84, Nashville and St. Louis 79, Dallas 75, Minnesota is 74 and they're still in. Colorado 72, so they're not far out. And in the Pacific, we have. Arizona's not far out either because they've got 73. So you got San Jose, Calgary, Vegas Golden Knights. So really the teams contending for those last playoff spots in the ones I said we're in right now would also include those, Minnesota and Colorado and Arizona. So we'll see how that all shakes out. We had some scores today, of course, and let's see where they are. Here we go. Actually, we had one final. Florida killed Detroit 6-1. And at one point they were talking about this on the Bruins pregame, that the Red Wings were outshot by the Panthers 35-12. Basically, they said the Red Wings were on vacation today, probably having too much fun in Florida. Both teams are out of it, but it's just embarrassing when that happens to your team. At 7 o'clock, Winnipeg at Washington. 7:30, the Bruins are at the Penguins. That'll be a good game, of course. 9:30, we have Vegas Golden Knights at Calgary. And 10, the Kings are at Anaheim in the freeway battle or whatever the heck they call it down there. And there's your NHL story.
Oh, and anybody out there, you've got a couple minutes.
Yeah, we still got a couple minutes. So if anybody's got anything they want to bring up, go ahead and put up your hand. And
Let me see. Any media odds and ends out there this week?
You know, one thing that I found tonight, I was flipping the dial around on the XM dial, and I came across the Pac-12 Women's Basketball Championship game, and J.B. Long, the voice of the Rams, is doing play-by-play on Westwood One for women's basketball. Now, I know he also works for the Pac-12 Network, too, so maybe that's why he's doing it, but J.B. Long doing play-by-play for Westwood One.
Oh, yeah. Now, you guys were running down which tournaments will be on for your championship games. Which ones? Some of them will not be on Westwood One. Some will be on Compass Media, you said?
The Big Ten, the Big Ten complete tournament is on Compass Media, and the Atlantic, I believe it's the Atlantic 10 championship game, is also on Compass Media.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of them will be Westwood One, but Westwood One
will have the Big East and Pac-12 semis, SEC and Ivy League semis, and of course the championships to all those, and they'll have a few championships too early in the week.
Oh yeah, Ivy League is doing a tournament now.
They do now. This is like the third year. Always do it at the Palestra. I'm pretty sure. You know, Penn's.
Yeah, I think you are right. Now that
the biggest building in the league, and I think no matter who's in it, you know, the Ivy League. That's not, you say, oh well, that's, you know, Boston. That's not that far. They're all close enough. New Hampshire to Philadelphia or Dartmouth.
You know what? You look at the Ivy League. What they've done in the past with Princeton. Remember when remember the whole slowdown Princeton team
right.
made some noise there in
the tournament? Oh, sure. Oh, no. The Ivy League has had success in the tournament. Only the top four make it in the Ivy League. So it's a Saturday-Sunday deal. You know, 1-4, 2-3 play, and then the champions on Sunday afternoon. So early afternoon. It's, you know, before the Big Ten and all that. So that's something to keep an eye out.
And I know sometimes, Chris, people are curious about this. The women's selections, we know the men are next Sunday. The women's do not come out until next Monday. So if you're interested in that selection show, that's Monday, a week from tomorrow.
Okay, Sean,
and
one minute.
The NIT selections will be later on Sunday night.
Guys, go ahead, Bill.
1 minute, Sean.
Okay. All right. We'll go ahead. I want to thank everybody for checking in. Remember, you can download the podcast at legendoldies.com or type in Worldwide Legend on your podcatcher and select Sports Lounge Live, or just say play Worldwide Legend podcast on your Lady A, or 773-572-7715. Which you hear it on there, which is also where you can leave your comments, questions, criticism, any feedback. We love it. Just hit the pound key when you hear the greeting or listen to the greeting. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell your neighbor, send them on over next week or whenever to listen to Sports Lounge Live. Treasure Island Oldies coming up next. We will have a busy week next week.
Big show next week. We've got a lot going on next. A really big shoe.
Really big shoe.